Happy Sunday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Knocking on Heaven's Door. Today's our daily bread reading will be called No Fishing Allowed. God will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom knew the importance of forgiveness. In her book, Tramp for the Lord, she says her favorite mental picture was of forgiven sins thrown into the sea. When we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. I believe God then places a sign out there that says, no fishing allowed. She points to an important truth that believers in Jesus can sometimes fail to grasp. When God forgives our wrongdoing, we're fully forgiven. We don't have to keep dredging up our old shameful deeds, wallowing in any mucky feelings. Rather, we can accept His grace and forgiveness, following Him in freedom. We see this idea of no fishing allowed in Psalms 130. The psalmist proclaims that although God is just, He forgives the sins of those who repent. But with you there is forgiveness, in verse 4. As the psalmist waits for God, putting his trust in Him, in verse 5, he states in faith that He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins, in verse 8. Those who believe will find full redemption, said in verse 7. When we're caught in feelings of shame and unworthiness, we can't serve God with our whole hearts. Instead, we're restricted by our past. If you feel stymied by the wrong you've done and ask God to help you fully believe in His gift of forgiveness and new life, He's cast your sins into the ocean. Are you holding on to the false belief that God can't possibly forgive you for some of your sins in your life? God wants you to allow His forgiveness to set you free. Forgiving God, you sent your Son, Jesus, to save me from my sins and shame. Help me to live in the freedom of being fully forgiven. And today's Bible reading will be from Genesis 35 and 36. Jacob returns to Bethel. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the town all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside of Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at that place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at that place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. The deaths of Rachel and Isaac. Then they moved on from Bethel. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. As she was having a great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't despair, for you have another son. As she breathed her last, she was dying, she named her son Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set a pillar, and to this day that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons. the sons of Leah: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel: Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of Rachel's servant, Bilhah, Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's servant, Zilpha, Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last breath and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Genesis chapter 36. Esau's descendants. This is the account of the family line of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wife from the women of Canaan, Adah, daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Oholibamah, daughter of Anna, and granddaughter of Zibeon, the Hivite. Also Basma, daughter of Ishmael, and sister of Nebaioth. Adah bore Eliphaz and Esau. Basmath bore Reu, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in Canaan. Esau took his wives and sons and daughters and all the members of his household, as well as his livestock and all of his other animals and all the goods he had acquired in Canaan, and moved to the land some distance from his brother Jacob. Their possessions were too great for them to remain together. The land where they were staying could not support them both because of their livestock. So Esau, that is Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. This is the account of the family line of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Esau's wife, Adah, and Reu, the son of Esau's wife, Basemath. The sons of Eliphaz: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Esau's sons Elav also had a concubine named Timnah, who bore him Amalek. These were the grandsons of Esau's wife Adah. The sons of Reuel: Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah. These were the grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Oholibamah, daughter of Anan and granddaughter of Zebeon, whom she bore to Esau: Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs among Esau's descendants. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, chiefs: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Amalek. These were the chiefs' descendants from Eliphaz and Edom. They were grandsons of Adah. The sons of Esau's son Reuel, chiefs: Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah. These were the chiefs descended from Reuel in Edom. They were the grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Oholibamah, chiefs: Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs descended from Esau's wife Oholibamah, daughter of Anan. These were the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seir, the Horite, who were living in the region: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anna, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishon. These sons of Seir in Edom were Horite chiefs. The sons of Lotan: Hori and Homan. Timnah was Lotan's sister. The sons of Shobal: Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon: Ayaya and Anna. This is the Anna who discovered the hot springs in the desert while he was grazing the donkeys of his father Zibeon. The children of Anna: Dishon and Oholibamah, daughter of Anna. These sons of Dishon: Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Kiran. The sons of Ezer: Bilhan, Zavan, and Akan. The sons of Dishon: Uz and Aran. These were the Horite chiefs: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anna, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishon. These were the Horite chiefs, according to their divisions in the land of Seir, the rulers of Edom. These were the kings who reigned in Edom before any Israelite king reigned. Bela, son of Beor, became king of Edom. His city was named Dinhabah. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah, from Bozrah, succeeded him as a king. When Jobab died, Husham, from the land of the Temanites, succeeded him as king. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, succeeded him as king. His city name was Avith. When Hadid died, Samla from Masreka succeeded him as king. When Samla died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. When Shaul died, Baal Hanan, son of Achbor, succeeded him as king. When Baal Hanan, son of Achbor, died, Hadad succeeded him as king. His city was named Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mizahab. These were the chief descendants from Esau, by name according to their clans and regions: Timnah, Alva, Jaheth, Oholibama, Elah, Pinon, Kenaz, Timnah, Mibzar, Magbil, and Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom, according to their settlements in the land they occupied. This is the family line of Esau, the father of the Edomites. That was today's Bible reading. I thank you so much for tuning in. I thank you for bearing with me as I am learning these names as well as you are. I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday. God bless you.